the impact is and everything. You've got to listen to your body on these things too. So yeah, that was encouraging though. Obviously my impact was much, much worse, you know, after I did in January. So yeah, this is just something that I've got to be careful with.
Poor Sydney. Welcome back to another week of the Kaufman Show. We're starting early again, gentlemen. Look at this. It's all this exciting NFL football on Monday nights, isn't it?
Classics. No, it's good. I've got no complaint about it. I'm here.
No, I mean, I wouldn't mind watching a great Monday nighter and sitting here cheering with you guys, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Not anytime soon, it seems.
Not looking likely. Jay, right off the top of the show, good job on, not a happy thing to have called, but you absolutely called last week that when Sydney played the Bruins, there was going to be trouble.
Yeah, where's the audio clip?
Like I said, we did a tutorial last week. You can go in there and clip it. I clipped enough damn audio today, Jay.
Why don't you DK, repeat what you said last week?
DK working hard. I don't really want to toot my own horn here, gentlemen, but I will, clearly. I said that Crosby hasn't played a physical team yet. He hasn't played a physical team yet, like the Boston Bruins, who we didn't check the schedule and we didn't know they were actually playing that night, and said it would be a real challenge for him when they do, and that he may get a reoccurring injury.
You know, I came back happens. Feeling comfortable and, you know, ready to accept whatever came with playing hockey. So I wasn't expecting it, no.
Lots going on in the world today. Mark Griffin is with us as well. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, Mark. How are you?
I'm great to be here. I love that intro song, Dave. That's it. That's a nice little start to get that. Who sings that song?
That's a Wilco song. Off of Ghost Is Born. It's called The Late Greats, and that was from Farm Aid.
I like it.
I'll have to put it up on the Kaufman Show page on Facebook. And the likes are growing on that. Holy moly. I just watched them jump all day today.
Yes, I've been noticing that. I've been getting little tweets all week, little updates about it, and I'm glad that people are starting to join in on the fun.
It is the place to communicate with us throughout the show, as well as on Twitter. You can reach me at The Kaufman Show. About damn time, eh, guys?
Yeah, that's a proper Twitter handle.
I think so.
Yeah, that works.
What's yours, Jay?
I don't. Yeah, well, mine is J_McLean's Pub, but I'm thinking about changing it. I just don't have a good idea yet. So if anybody wants to chime in on that, please be my guest.
And of course, Mr. Griffin.
Montreal Mark, and that's Mark with a C. The C stands for Canada.
And Montreal with an M, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good.
Two M's.
Not with a Cabriolet?
No.
I saw your reactions this week on Twitter to that. I think, first of all, Mark and I had a mandate this week, or last week. We went to the hockey game.
That made my week.
Did it?
I hadn't been to a game all year, and Thursday, it was Thursday, right? Thursday afternoon, Dave said, let's go to the game.
Wait a minute. You took Griffin to the hockey game?
I knew this was going to happen.
What's happening here? What's going on?
Well, I'm pretty sure that J_McLean's Pub was at J_McLean's Pub when it happened.
It doesn't matter. An invitation. I don't want to get Larry David on you, but an invitation would have been nice.
When I know your schedule, Jay.
Yeah, you do.
You know mine, right?
You have a very, very sporadic schedule. No one knows you. You don't even know your schedule.
Well, that may be true. But yeah, you can more often than not know where to find me.
Right. At McLean's Pub.
Not necessarily.
No, I'm kidding.
All to be said that I knew where you were, Jay, or you would have absolutely gotten a phone call.
I know. But I know I was your first choice.
Our buddy Mark Griffin over here was having himself a heck of a week.
Yeah.
And, I thought that it would be a good opportunity for him to have some fun.
Well,
unfortunately, you didn't get the game that you deserved.
Well, I mean, we were up 3-0, and you know, they came back. Vancouver came back, but after the game, we went and we're outside, and there's a guy about our age with his kid with the Canucks jersey on.
Yeah, he bummed a light.
Yeah, and it was his first game, so that gave us a smile.
Yeah, the little kid in the head-to-toe in Canucks gear, and the dad
and bummed
up,
a light.
The dad comes up and asks us for a light, and it was the kid looked adorable. What can I say? It I don't know if that softened the blow. I don't think that kid was the rioter that we saw on Burrard Street last June.
Probably not, no.
You know, we walked out of that game, and there was one thing you and I were both sure of.
Well, the hashtag Fire Martin was probably going pretty full stream, but...
Well, yeah, I don't know if hashtags necessarily equate to results in real life. You can ask the Occupy people about that. But I think
don't get me started, Colin.
I think we both thought that something was going to happen. After seeing a team up 3-0 and then turn around and lose the game, yeah, I would not for a second lie. I thought that the coach was done.
It was palpable in the air.
Sure it was. And the crowd was... And, you know, if any of you were at the game, give me a shout, 514-790-0990, because I've never seen a crowd so pathetic at the Bell Center. The fans gave up on the team halfway through the game. When the Canadians were still leading 3-0, it was as if every fan said, oh, well, we know where this is going. It was a pathetic display. There was no home ice advantage at the Bell Center last Thursday.
Yeah, but they were right. They were right. They predicted it. You can't really blame the fans for the Canadians blowing the game.
I'm not blaming the fans for anything. Okay. I'm just saying that it must have been awful hard on the rink on the ice that night, knowing that 21,273 had given up around you while you clung to a 3-1 lead.
It could have been easy, that's for sure.
So Thomas Cabrelle joins the Montreal Canadiens. That ends up being the result. And boy, you should have heard my friends in Toronto call me. Just laughing on my answering machine.
Oh, boy.
It was hilarious. Don't know if you guys heard Tony Marinaro's reaction. This is what I woke up to on Friday morning.
Montreal Canadiens just acquired Thomas Cabrelle for Yaroslav Spachek. You think I'm joking?
No, I know you're not joking.
That dead air is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Speechless. utter silence. Utter shame.
I'm telling you, I thought there was a problem with my radio. And no, I came in and
I just thought
the
there was a problem with the audio when you just aired that.
One more time.
Heard Thomas Cabrelle for Yaroslav Spachek.
1-1,000. 2-1,000.
You think I'm joking?
No, I know you're not joking.
Absolutely killed me. That made my weekend. I thought of that and chuckled all weekend long.
It's funny. I was telling somebody once that I can see that guy in a Canadian's uniform one day. I said that.
Cabrelle.
Yeah, I said that about
Cabrelle.
Yeah,
but how many years ago did you say it?
I saw it. I probably said it about a year ago or 2 years ago, in that range.
Well, needless to say.
Where's the audio from that?
Well, I don't know if somebody was following you around with a tape recorder back then. That could
you
be
never
the,
know.
That could be the missing 18 minutes from the Ferrargate tape.
There are a few 18-minute segments that are missing from my life, believe me.
We've got a big show tonight. We've got Metric Julie Veilleux. She'll be on the show in about 10 minutes' time to talk about this Pat Hickey article that really kind of blew up around 6:30, 7 o'clock tonight. Pat Hickey takes Theo Fleury to task for the way he handled the Graham James situation. If you haven't read this, go to the Kaufman Show page on Facebook, and we have it linked. Steve Hindle will be joining us around 12:30 for some attitude and hockey talk and all the rest of that. Steve is with Pro Scout Hockey, Hockey Buzz. And then Pat Dusso is going to be in at 1 a.m., my old co-host. Funny, funny dude. I'm going to finally get him to shave those sideburns. They're awful. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show, 12:05. Boy, we can't help but walk into controversy every time we go on air, hey, gentlemen. It's like it follows us or something. Didn't expect to read a Pat Hickey article. Didn't expect to be sitting in the seat that you're sitting in, Mark Griffin, and get sent a link to a Pat Hickey article with a "you need to read this now" tone of voice to it. And needless to say, Pat Hickey seems to throw Theron Fleury under a bus. Says that he's hypocritical for blasting the justice system's handling of the Graham James case. Graham James was sentenced this week in a Montreal court or via uplink from Montreal, because that's where he lives now, after being brought home from Mexico. I don't know if you you know, but our entire pardon system in this country has changed because of the way that the ease in which Graham James was able to receive a pardon. And Theo Fleury's been very outspoken in the last few days. And Pat Hickey decided to give his opinion on the matter. I encourage you all to read Metric Julie on Twitter, Julie Vieux, her response on her Tumblr feed is just beyond words, too powerful. And we're very fortunate that Julie said that she would join us on the program this evening. And welcome back to TSN 990, Julie. It's been a while.
Thanks, Dave. It has been a while.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. First of all, when did you read the article, and how quickly did you write out that response?
Listen, I saw that the article was put online around 5 p.m. tonight, and I got a lot of replies. People were emailing me and tweeting me to say, have you read this and have you seen this? Obviously, they know that I'm vocal about this issue. And I got home around 6, and I just vomited that whole reply out as soon as I got home. I wanted to get the response out right away before the article was taken down, or I didn't know how the Gazette was going to respond to the possible and likely negative feedback that they were going to get from Pat Hickey's column.
Well, I don't know how much negative feedback they've gotten directly, at least through telephone lines, but wow, did Twitter explode tonight.
It did. It's really encouraging to me. I like it when people talk about these things. Obviously, we've been hearing a lot about the issue with the whole Penn State situation. And as unfortunate as that may be, people don't talk about it enough, and it's still very taboo. So any opportunity to talk about it is in some way positive, in my opinion.
One of the things that I'm noticing from everything I'm reading, the Hickey article excluded, mm-hmm. is that nobody can be rushed into talking about these things, that it's a very gradual process before one feels comfortable enough to express what's happened to them.
You mean people who've been victims?
Correct.
That is if they ever talk about it. The thing is that it's believed that sexual assault and sexual abuse and incest are that whole type of crime is the least reported to the police.
Is that really surprising, Julie?
Well,
You wrote about the fear yourself. There's a reason that people say it takes so much courage to talk about this. It's obviously not an easy thing, and you know, we've heard it from callers. When we talked about the Sandusky scandal a couple of weeks ago, we had more callers than the Habs postgame show. People are very upset about this, and I'd imagine that after reading your response tonight, that it just gives it a whole other personal note.
People are upset, and rightfully so. I spoke about my own personal experience a few months ago, and I was completely overwhelmed by the positive response was really overwhelming in itself. I was nervous about talking about it, but the hundreds of emails that I got of people telling me about their own experience and telling me, I've never told this to anyone before, people are dying to talk about what they're going through and what they've been through. And people feel isolated, and people feel deeply, deeply ashamed, and they feel crippling guilt, and it's a whole mess. And I wish that people had more opportunities to talk about it, and I wish that the whole issue was talked about talked about more. It's still unfortunately very taboo. People are very uncomfortable talking about it. And so unfortunately, these things need to be talked about. They make everyone uneasy, but that's the only way we'll get people to report it more is if it's less taboo and there's less victim blaming, like we saw in Pat Hickey's column, which was absolutely despicable.
What gain is there in writing an article like that? And let me just, we've reached out to Theron Fleury. We hope that he'll get back in touch with us. I've left several messages on Pat Hickey's voicemail tonight and sent him a couple of text messages. We're trying to speak to everybody about this story, but what gain is there from this, Julie? Other than you getting this out and people really expressing their feelings about this tonight, which I guess wouldn't have happened. There would have just been some crappy football game for people to talk about. And I guess just on that, there's something about it. But, you know, are you expecting a retraction? Are you expecting that Theo Fleury will get an apology?
I don't think I'm not expecting a retraction. Then again, I wasn't expecting everyone to react the way that they have to what I wrote, which is great. It would be great if the Gazette acknowledged that perhaps this wasn't in the best interest of humanity to write something like that, because honestly, what enables abuse to happen is not a victim being under the control of his or her abuser. It's people like Pat Hickey encouraging victim blaming and encouraging people to feel guilty about what has happened to them and what someone else has inflicted upon them. That is what enables abuse. And I don't know Pat Hickey personally. I don't know why he would write something like that. I hope that he's just wildly ignorant. And that is the best case scenario.
We're in conversation with Julie Vieux, Metric Julie on Twitter. You can find her there. And we're talking about Pat Hickey's article and about Theo Fleury and Sheldon Kennedy for that matter. And we're talking about Julie's response, which where can people find that, Julie?
They can find it on my Tumblr, metricjulie.tumblr.com.
Thanks, Julie. Mark, do you have a question for Julie?
Oh, no, I just wanted to applaud you because I went through, I'm not going to say similar circumstances, but in my own right, I wrote an article this summer about my father's suicide, which is quite a taboo in society today. And I also had a pouring out of hundreds of people calling him, people just saying, I wish I was able to talk more about these things. And I love the fact that we have the social media outlet to be able to talk about things and get things out in the open, because that can help shed new light and help heal in the process of things. So I just wanted to applaud you for writing that letter tonight.
Thank you. You're right. Social media has allowed me to reach out to a lot of people, and a lot of people that I didn't think would be interested or, you know, would care or feel compelled by this. And it turns out that a lot more people than we think are affected by assault and abuse, whether they've been through it themselves or a loved one or close friend or whatever have been through it. The statistics, you know, say that it's wildly unreported, and one in roughly four or five people will be assaulted or abused in their lives. So that's a lot of people when you think about it. And so most people know someone who's been through it, and it's hardly ever talked about as openly. So hopefully the dialogue remains open.
Hopefully, Julie. And as we said at the top of the conversation, if it happens as prominently as it does, it shows, and nobody talks about it, the ones who do show a lot of courage. And, your article really showed me a whole other side of you than the side that I know. And wow, are you a very courageous human being. And so is Theo Fleury, and so is Sheldon Kennedy. And I think that when Pat Hickey wakes up tomorrow morning and sees the response, the overwhelming response, I think he'll see just how out of touch he was when he wrote this article.
I'll definitely let everyone who follows me on Twitter and on my Tumblr know if Pat Hickey replies. I'll definitely... I'm going to be publishing, you know, his reply, whatever I get from the Gazette or from Pat Hickey or anything like that. I left him my, you know, complete coordinates. I'm expecting a reply. If I don't get one, It's worse than I thought, but hopefully something can come out of it, and hopefully one person, even if that person is only Pat Hickey, you know, will learn something.
I have a response from somebody on Twitter that says that his name is JCLIN1. His name is Carlos. Hickey replied to my email saying he was attending an all-male Catholic school in the 60s, knows people who have been abused, said, too, he has read the literature, is aware of what victims face, etc., still thinks Fleury has looked for gain out of this. Again, I think that once he sees the overwhelming response, hopefully not to do with pressure, let's give the man credit. He's been around a long time, that he'll get there on his own and figure this out by himself. That
so interesting that I haven't gotten a response yet. And
very interesting. And I imagine that your piece was the longest of all that he received. But hopefully he gives it the attention it deserves, Julie. And in the meantime, keep fighting the good fight.
Thanks.
We'll speak soon.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
There she goes. Follow her on Twitter at Metric Julie. Julie Vieux, we really appreciate it.
Different angle on this, that I was thinking about was the use of the word hypocritical. Now, how is it a hypocrisy when a victim of abuse says that he's not satisfied with the justice that was served in the case? I don't understand where the hypocrisy, because he was silent before. Why such an attack on someone? What would be so hypocritical about coming out and putting a little bit more attention on the matter at hand, especially such a serious matter which affects so many people and basically ruins lives on a daily basis? Where's the hypocrisy here? I don't understand it. That's my problem with it.
Mr. Hickey, if you're listening, we're on till 2 a.m. You can give us a shout. Mr. Fleury, we know you're listening, and hope you think we did a good job. Our line's always open to you too, sir. This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Mark Griffin, Jimmy G on the board. And boy, let's keep on rolling, guys. Everybody okay in here?
We're okay. We're okay.
All right. Well, yeah. Trust me, we'll keep with this for a bit, because it's, again, something people want to talk about. You know, whenever we talk about something controversial, the lines light up. Can't always be Thomas Cabrillet, people. People
sometimes
in Toronto learn that.
Yeah, that's why they're laughing at us right now. Sometimes it's good to speak about things that not a lot of other people like to talk about, and hopefully we won't get criticized for it.
From Adam Jacoby on Twitter, great segment with Metric Julie. It's so refreshing to hear people in sports media that treat this issue like adults. Thank you. Thanks for listening, Adam. We appreciate it. Mark.
I just think it's great to be able to talk about things that are on people's minds. Beyond the stats, you know, that's what our show is about, being able to talk about what people are thinking about and talking about on the streets. And I think we're building something really special here, guys, and let's just keep rolling with it.
Just got a tweet from Anakin Slade. We're loud and clear in Los Angeles, California.
Good to know. Good to know. City of Angels, city of Albert Pujols.
He's in Culver City right now, where Gary Carter was born and raised.
Oh, well, and that's wasn't that his favorite?
Yep, that was his hero growing up. Yep.
Oh, there you go. Let's go back to the phones, 514-790-0990. We are talking about, goodness, as the up-and-coming journalist, you really want to be dragging Pat Hickey through it on Montreal Radio. Eh? This is really the spot to be in. But again, Pat, we've tried to reach you if you want to get in touch. More than happy to hear your side of the story. Same with Theo Fleury if he wants to come on air, although I think his opinions are pretty known. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Very good. Well, in shock, literally. When I started to see this this thread going around regarding Pat Hickey's article, man, it really put me into a shock. So, okay, I'm known. I go on the media often to talk about that. I was sexually abused when I was young, and when I was 9 years old, and now I'm 41. And many years ago, I went to the authorities. It took me a long time to be able to go to the authorities to tell them what my father did to me. So, you know, what Pat Hickey doesn't know is how tough it is to go to the authorities to report somebody who's doing something like that. We have a lot of pressure from people around us to prevent us from doing that. It's not just that we don't have the strength, it's also with the social pressure that we get from friends, family, or people around the person who did that to us. So it's that's why it's really tough to talk about that. So it's really unfair from Hickey to say that it was hypocritical. It's not hypocritical, it's just that it's tough to go to the media, to the authorities to talk about that.
Well, obviously it's tough, Danielle. I think that's, again, we see it just in the numbers versus the amount of people who are willing to talk about it. And obviously it's taken you a lot of time and a lot of courage to get to the point where you feel comfortable talking about it. I'd imagine not only on radio for the world to hear, but also amongst friends and family members and people that you trust. It's I can imagine that it takes a long time to get over the part where you're worried about how people are going to look at you.
Well, the main thing is that we question ourselves: is it really worth it to go through reminding us of or talking about what happened? That's the toughest part, because what I think Hickey really wanted to protect here is the justice system. And this is where I really don't agree with him. He made a mistake regarding Fleury, I agree, but protecting the justice system, that's a pure mistake. I thought he would be more educated regarding that, because the justice system is really the reason why people like me don't go to the authorities because to go and tell the cops that, okay, somebody sexually abused us is one thing. But to do it for nothing, that's the tough part. Because what's the point to go? Like, when I went, they told me that, oh, it happened 20 years ago. If he gets 9 months, 12 months in the doing a community work, it's going to be a miracle. So what's the point to go through all that just for, again, to suffer all that, just to so that the person will only get 9 months in the community? So, because it happened the same thing to me, like what my father did to me, did it to my sister, which I found out, but I never went to the authorities regarding that. So Jeez. Technically, I'm as guilty as Fleury, because it took me a long time and I never told the cops about that. So it's not just a matter of keeping our mouth shut because we don't want to do it. It's because the justice system is screwed up. It's not doing enough to punish sex offenders. And so that's the I'm having a hard time just to talk about it.
And I thank you one second, Jimmy. I want to keep him on the line for another second. Daniel, I know this might be putting you on a spot, and if you don't feel comfortable, no problem at all. But if there's anybody listening right now that needs help, that wants to reach out, what's your advice?
Well, One thing that is, like, this is like I have personal projects that will help people to, because one thing that I want to do in a few years is to be able to help victims, and I don't call them victims personally in my projects. I call them survivors, because we're surviving. We're not victims anymore, and it's better to look at us as a survivor. It's more positive. And definitely, there's a lot of things that this causes a lot of trauma, psychiatric disease, mental illness, a lot of things that makes us weaker, and we might want to do drastic things and become very violent or do drastic things, have dark thoughts. So there's a lot of things that this causes. Sexual abuse affects one kid out of four almost. You know, so it's a girl out of four will be sexually abused in her life, and one boy out of six will be sexually abused in his life. So it's a major problem, and definitely the justice system is screwed up, from the cops that don't have enough people, and the laws and the sentence that are stupid. You know, so definitely one thing that I can say is that the more we talk about it, and the more we're going to be able to find the sex offenders, and the more we're going to be able to deal with them, because, you know, in all fairness, they're sick too. So it's not just a matter of, like, of them being, you know, murderers. They need help as well. And technically, if family, the biggest culprit with sex offenders is inside families. The reason why we don't see them, like when I say numbers like this, like almost one kid out of four will be sexually abused in his life. The problem is that they're in clusters. You're going to have 100 families. Like, you're going to have 90 families that have absolutely no problems, no sexual abuse case, but you're going to have 10 families with many problems. And so they're in clusters, and we don't really see them. So, but it's a lot of people nonetheless. So the reason why these families don't, the victims don't go to the authorities is because we have a lot of pressure from our family counterpart. Oh, are you sure it's true? Are you doing this to get attention? Things like that. You know, we're really, and the biggest pressure is that, what is it going to do to our family? What is it going to do to our couple, when it's a matter of, like in my case, my father and my mother? You know, so they don't care about the victim. You know, they just care about what's going to be the impact on their family. So the more we talk about that, eventually I really hope that family members that know about the sexual abuse that don't report it to authorities will be simply a culprit, you know, accomplice to the whole situation.
Daniel, I want to thank you for your time tonight. Julie just sent out a tweet, Metric Julie, saying that she's very happy that you called to share your story. And want to thank you. Stay in touch. And for everybody else who's out there, the Montreal Sexual Assault Center Crisis Hotline, 514-934-4504. This is the Kaufman Show. Daniel, please.
You can reach me.
Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
Reach me on Twitter. My name is Tricolor.
Tricolor? Oh, you just, okay. Yeah, you just started following the show. Thank you.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
We'll follow you back right now, and we'll be in touch. Daniel, thank you for your candor, and thank you for your courage.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a good night. This is the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Mark Griffin, Jimmy G on the board. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Steve Hindle. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Mark Griffin, here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Kind of wish it was later on a night like this. 514-790-0990 is the number if you're in Montreal. If you're not, might as well be on our dime, not yours. 1-866-896-2546. You can reach me on Twitter at the Kaufman Show, Jay at J_McLean's Pub. Mark at Montreal Mark with a C, And our lines are open to talk about this all night. We're going to talk a little hockey right now. Bring on our friend Steve Hindle from Pro Scout Hockey and Hockey Buzz. And without any further ado, here he is. Steve, heck of a night to be on radio, eh?
Good evening, sir. Yeah, I have not been able to tune in. I was busy at work, but I've been following along on Twitter, and you'll have to fill me in on some of this madness because I'm focused on some of the bigger issues in hockey right now, but from what it sounds like, there are some bigger ones going on.
Yeah, well, as it always works, Steve, life issues seem to get in the way of our hockey issues, and sometimes it doesn't matter who's battling for position on the fourth line and who's blocking shots and whether the coach should be fired or not. Sometimes it really just doesn't matter, and sometimes people say things that I bet they wish they could take back.
Yes, this happens in life. Everybody has a moment or two like that, no doubt. It certainly doesn't help when those moments happen to be, you know, on public record. But, yeah, that happens. And, you know, I've been focusing on some different hockey issues, namely those like Sidney Crosby's health and Claude Giroux and headshots. But I don't know what you guys have going on tonight.
Well, we have been talking about Pat Hickey's article in the Gazette that you can read online right now at MontrealGazette.com, where he calls Theo Fleury a hypocrite for not speaking out sooner on the Graham James affair.
So singling out the victim.
Correct.
Okay.
Anyway, that's where we're at, and we're going to be taking calls on that all night long because people want to hear about it. We just interviewed Julie V, Metric Julie. We had a very powerful call from Danielle, who is you can follow at Tricolore on Twitter. I bet the Habs would like to buy that name from him, eh?
They haven't yet.
I know. But, yeah, obviously there's a lot going on in the league, and if you've heard any news about Sidney Crosby, we would love to hear it, Steve.
Well, as far as I have been told, and I'm sure everybody knows by now, he's out indefinitely once again. He's dealing with concussion-like symptoms, and it's just a situation of taking it one day at a time once again after 10 months of battling back and showing great promise in his return. It's really a shame that it took one simple blow from a teammate to knock him back to this position, but the time frame is now back down to wait and see, so everyone is holding their breath, especially in Pittsburgh.
No, I think they're holding their breath across the North American professional sports landscape, Steve. I think that this is a really big sign of the times, and wow, I'll tell you, I didn't want him to come back before, and I want him to come back even less now.
Well, you know, it was funny because with all of the precaution they'd taken and the time that Crosby had spent in practice, you were sort of leaning towards believing they were taking the right course and they took the due amount of time. But, you know, it's not an easy situation, and it's certainly a problem that, you know, something similar to what's going on tonight, which certainly goes beyond the realms of our understanding and comprehension. It is not something that, you know, everybody can get a firm grasp on right now. And in terms of concussions, you know, I hate to say it, but we're still left in the dark on this subject. And you look at what's going on today, you've got Claude Giroux, who's out right now with a head injury, apparently also concussion-related. So there you go.
Pronger,
two
too, Steve.
In a row.
I don't know if you heard that, but Chris Pronger as well.
Yes, Chris Pronger's out with head injuries. I mean, Peter Mueller took a shot to the head 2 years ago. Hasn't been able to suit up and play. He's now in Colorado, and I mean, he was once a highly sought-after prospect, but his career's gone by the way by at this moment as well. So it's a dangerous situation. It's no longer shoulders and knees. It's a lot of focus on the head, and when you think back to how many of us grew up learning how to play hockey, which was, you know, take the man, focus on the center of the chest. If you see a name on the back of the jersey, stop. Hands down, elbows down. I just have to wonder what people have been teaching kids growing up playing the game these days.
Do you think that it would be better for the future of the league if Crosby was to not retire, was to not come back and maybe become an advocate for safe hockey? I mean, no, and Jay's looking at me like I'm crazy here, Steve. And you know, I'll be honest with you. You got to go out on top. What is he doing to himself? He's got his Stanley Cup. He's got his gold medal. He's a hero from coast to coast.
Well, listen.
He can already retire off the contract that he signed.
You've got two options.
Forget about the power and the glory. Forget about that. What about your future? I mean,
you've got
what
two
is
options,
Sidney,
Dave? Yeah. One that you know, and one that you don't know. The one that you know is what we are all witnessing with Mark Savard, who's at home in Peterborough, no longer playing hockey, had to be awarded a Stanley Cup ring, you know, even though he was ashamed about it on the Bruins because of what has happened to him. And everybody can see that if it gets that bad, you may not even be able to drive a car to the store to get your groceries. So the other side of that is, how long does it take to wait for something like this to be overcome? How long does it take for any player to overcome a concussion? We don't know. So you have to sort of go with the unknown, which is the wait and see, take it day by day, and, you know, back to square one. And until the medical community can start putting in protocols that sort of dictate a better solution into rehabbing from these hits, it's still just going to be touch and go.
We're in conversation with Steve Hindle from Pro Scout Hockey and HockeyBuzz.com. Follow him on Twitter at Stephen Hindle. Steve, you have any good news for me?
Well, I'll make a slight correction. It's PowerScoutHockey.com.
Oh, excuse me, PowerScouthockey.
We don't need to be
You're
spreading
not
someone else's
no.
brand.
Sorry about that, Steve.
Well, listen, I mean, what's going on is the Montreal Canadiens, outside of all the madness that's you know, catching everyone's attention this evening, I think Montreal Canadiens fans, after a weekend uproar of seeing Spacek dealt for Caberlé, have sat back and realized that there just might be some upside to the recent wheelings and dealings of Pierre Gauthier. I think the Canadiens are desperate to get that power play going, and with what we saw on Saturday night, I'm sure you guys have discussed a little bit about what's going on with Caberlé's role on the team, but there were certainly some positives in New Jersey.
Oh, you'd think we have, but no, we've been kind of caught up. The only thing we got into at the very start was that after the Vancouver game, there was this palpable feeling that something had to change. Now,
yes.
I didn't necessarily think that part of that change would be adding $9 million worth of contract to the Canadiens.
Well,
but,
you take change where you can get it, right, Dave?
Well, there's a lot of change in $9 million, let's put it that way.
Well, also, I don't know if you've checked your Chinese calendar this year. But
I haven't, no, I haven't.
Well, according to the NHL, apparently it's the year of the fired coach, because Terry Murray just lost his job in L.A. this afternoon. So you would have assumed that Montreal would have jumped on that bandwagon a few weeks ago. But by waiting it out this long, you take a step back and you realize that if the management group is going to be patient and not fire the coach, and if ownership is going to be patient and not fire management, clearly the solution was going to be in a trade. With all the problems they've been forced to deal with in terms of injuries and performance on the blue line, naturally they were focusing on defense. And I think that for all the issues Scott Gomez has brought to the table this year, that lack of a power play quarterback and everybody pointing out that Yannick Weber hasn't filled the role and PK Subban isn't stepping up like he should be, the young guys simply haven't seemed to have matured as fast as they were last season. And it's a situation where when the Canadiens dealt with the Markov injury last season, they got Wisniewski. This time around, they went and got Caberlé. Difference is that instead of getting a Wisniewski who's a UFA at the end of the year, they got something with a little bit of insurance tied to the end, and also someone who can step in, take ice time and pressure off of a guy like Subban. So perhaps this is more in the mind of just balancing everything out, and he clearly fits the role.
Wow, Steve, that's the most positive reaction I've heard to the trade so far.
Well, you have to realize that they're addressing a role. They're not doing it for show. They're not grabbing Caberlé because of any other circumstance than the fact that this team was in dire need of fixing the power play. Caberlé happened to be a player they pursued in the summer, albeit they didn't want to lock him up for as long as he is locked up. But the reality is that considering the Band-Aid that was last year in Wisniewski, who turned out to be a great acquisition but a very expensive UFA, if Caberlé proves to be a great addition this year, he's already signed. You do not have to renegotiate with him. And if Markov, for the grace of God, happens to return after the All-Star break, the Canadians could have a very loaded blue line before we know it.
Inshallah, Steve, inshallah. You can follow him on Twitter, at Stephen Hindle. No, Steve Hindle, right?
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. Steve Hindle, S-T-E-V-E, spelled the cool way.
That's it.
Steve, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you soon. Go read that article and tell me what you think.
I will get back to you on that. I'm sorry I couldn't chime in. I'll let you guys get back to that very heated debate, but thanks for having me on tonight, and have a good one, everybody.
Anytime, and you've got till 2 a.m. to chime in on the show, on Twitter, and on the Facebook page. Steve Hindle, thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
It is the Kaufman Show, and we keep rolling along. Turn up those transistor radios, fire up the Google Chromes. We've got another hour and a quarter to go. And we want to take your calls, 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. Jimmy's turning my music up, so I'm going to go listen. This is the Kaufman Show.
All the leaves are gone, I don't give a fuck. Let the winter come. Try my luck. Always knew it could be bad. Though I must admit, if I thought it'd be this bad, I would have split.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman here. Jay Farrar, Mark Griffin. Doing good work tonight, boys.
Good show.
It's got to be done.
It's got to be done. We got to talk about this stuff.
We want to thank you all for staying up late with us tonight. We are with you every Monday night. If you want us on earlier or more often,
let them know.
Yeah. I was going to say tough, but yeah. Really, no. Yeah, I don't know. Call Rod Francis. Call Wayne Buse.
Facebook like us.
Facebook like us. It's jumped today. We're at, where are we at now? We're flying. We're at 114, which feels like a lot.
It is.
Hey.
Considering our average before this, it's... That's what we want.
It grows and grows and grows. And the response we've had on Twitter tonight makes me very happy that I changed my name to The Kaufman Show before the show started.
I think I'll change mine to The Kaufman Show, too.
We never shy away from controversy here. In fact, I don't really give a damn about spreads anymore. And if you want to listen to a show to tell you...
I wouldn't know anything about that anyway.
...who to pick and... you know, which teaser to go for and where the underdogs are at and where the favorites are at. I mean, I'm sure everybody and their dog could have told you that Seattle was going to cover tonight, but really, we don't care. We've got bigger fish to fry. Let's go to the phones, Jimmy. We've got Eric in Montreal. He wants to talk about headshots. Good evening, Eric.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Hey, guys, I want to deviate on the subject a little bit.
Sure.
I want to talk about headshots. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there was a report today on RDS about Alexei Yimlin, okay? He, when he was in junior, he got into a fight, and he got his, sorry to say, but he got his head pounded in. His jaw was wired shut. He was not able to play hockey for about 6 months.
Close that car door, Eric. Come on.
No, sorry. It's my seatbelt. I'm sorry about that. It's even worse. I'll put it on.
You should.
No, that's it. I was listening to that, and I seen the images of the fight, and oh, my God. Imlin was talking about how he would never fight in the NHL. My problem is with that is that the way that he's hitting people – eventually, he's going to have to defend himself. He's not going to be able to... We have nobody on the Habs team to go and punch out somebody that gets into a scrap with Yimlin. So I'm wondering how fragile is Yimlin now on the blue line? Because like I said, this guy, you can see the images. Like, his face is just like hanging by a thread. The guy was not able, and he was like 17 at the time. He was not able to play hockey for about 6 months. His jaw was wired shut. His eye was coming out of his socket. And I don't know. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because he they're calling him Kaboom with Cabrillet and on the internet. But,
oh God, I haven't heard the Kaboom yet. I've heard the boom.
You haven't heard? Oh yeah, but they're saying that him and Cabrillet are the Kaboom line, and they were asking him how about his thoughts about the Kaboom line, you know, and he was laughing. But my problem with that is, like I said, is like he's gonna have to defend himself one day or another. He can't. We have nobody to protect this guy. And I don't know, it was just my thought, and I wanted to say good job, guys, because I'm a new-time listener. I've listened to you guys for about a couple weeks now, and I think you guys are the bomb, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that, that's all.
Well, first of all, thank you, Eric. We really appreciate it. And before we get into our responses, and I know we all have, keep that safe belt on, because
when
right away I thought about you talked about the jaw being wired shut, and I went to Kanye. And I don't know if you know the story, but Kanye West was in a horrible car accident and had his jaw wired shut. The song Through the Wire with the Chaka Khan sample is all about that. And he credits the seatbelt for keeping him alive. That thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt is the line. Yeah. So please be safe. And Jay, we'll start with you.
Well, it depends on the nature of Yemelin's injury. Bone and tissue heal much quicker than a concussion, an injury to the brain, internal bleeding inside the skull. So, I mean, I've seen, you know, fighters in the UFC and in boxing have their jaws wired shut on numerous occasions. Bone mends. Tissues mend. Unfortunately, concussions have a tendency to reoccur, even with the slightest kind of impact. So, I mean, will he fight? We don't know. Will he get a chance to fight? Probably. Somebody will take offense to one of his hard hits one of these days.
Mark?
Yeah, simply just try to get headshots out of the game. Try to simplify things and try to think, make it a, take the violence out of the game.
It's going to take, and I don't want to compare the two because they're very different, but watching the UFC this weekend when, who got his arm broken, Jay?
Minotauro Nogueira.
Right, by... Was it Jones? No, it was the fight before.
No, it was Frank Mir.
Right, Frank Mir.
Frank Mir got him into a reverse Kimura and popped his shoulder right out.
Right, so that's all well and good, but if somebody snaps somebody's neck and they die in the ring, then I think the views on UFC are going to change. And I know the concussions, you get hit now and you really feel the after effects 20 years later, but I think people need to realize that that hit now is killing people. And might not be killing them on the ice, but it's like that conversation about smoking, right? The cigarette you smoke now isn't killing you, but it's you're standing on the train tracks. That train is hundreds of miles away. You're still standing on the tracks. You're still an idiot. I'm still an idiot. I got to tell you, Eric, right? It was Eric. There's really one simple way, and we've got to get fighting out of the game. And I never believed that as strongly as I have in the last week since this New York Times furor over the Derek Bogard article. And they keep going. I don't know if you've noticed, now Jeff C. Klein's writing. They keep going every day. The New York Times is on a campaign right now to change the way people look at hockey. And it's worked for me. Let's go back to the phone. So we got Bram. Bram wants to talk about sexual abuse. Bram, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you, Bram?
What's up, guys?
Bram.
Hi, Bram.
I think I'm probably as shocked and as disgusted as anybody else in the past few months, the allegations of sexual abuse that have come out, and over the past years, you heard about it in hockey, you hear about it, the Penn State scandal pretty much rocked the nation, and then again at Syracuse with Bernie Fine. But I think equally disturbing is how much support people like Jim Boeheim and people like Joe Paterno are really getting, and I don't really understand how these things are happening. I don't know if you guys were aware that like a lot of the Penn State students rioted and were trying to
Yeah, they did. You know, they went absolutely crazy. They tipped over a media van, in fact.
And I don't understand it. We're not talking about thugs. We're not talking about uneducated fans. We're talking about university students, and this is happening in their own backyard, and they're supporting a guy like Joe Paterno who knew about these things, and regardless of how much he knew or what he knew, the fact that he was told anything, and he didn't go forward to authorities or he brought it up the chain of command, And I don't understand how this happens. I feel like maybe there's just a lack of education in the states when it comes to these issues and how grave it is and how.
Why would you say the states, Bram?
You're right. Anywhere. I'm just using the states because it happened in the states. But I really don't get it. I mean, you have guys like Mike McQueary, you know, and what did he do? He went to his dad for advice. And whether he even broke it up, we're not even sure. A friend of his came out and said, we don't know if he broke up what he saw in the shower. I mean, I know for me, no matter how much hero worship I had, no matter how much I loved my coach or my boss, if I saw a child being violated by a 60-year-old man in the shower, it would be go time. You know, immediately I'd be breaking it up. I mean, I'd be going to the police immediately.
Unfortunately, what we see in the Penn State situation, first of all, Bram, not all of the information has come out yet.
You're right. That's
and
true.
I think that there's a whole story there about the prosecutor for the county who was informed and subsequently committed suicide, and the files were all found washed up on some lake.
Okay, so
I'm willing to believe that this was taken to the top at a certain point, and then because of who Joe Paterno is, and at Syracuse, because of who Jim Boeheim is, this was kept quiet because these guys are like gods over there. Now, the question I want to ask is, why isn't Pat Hickey writing an article blaming Joe Paterno? To me, that's a lot more suitable than writing an article blaming Theron Fleury.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read the article. From what I understand, I just heard about it.
Go on to the Kaufman Show Facebook page, Bram, and you can find the link over there.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. But even if that's true, even if it was taken up the prosecution, the fact that Jerry Sandusky was involved with the team for, what, another 10 years later?
And then some. Absolutely.
How is the whistle not reblown once a case dies or once something, you know what I mean? Once it loses steam. How is he allowed to continue? I don't get it. I'm embarrassed for the students at Penn State who are rioting over this nonsense, and for some reason they care about their longtime coach. I mean, who cares? These guys knew of unspeakable things being done to children, and covered it up or bumped it up the chain of command and did everything but really blow a whistle.
How many people stopped being Maple Leafs fans when the sexual abuse scandal at Maple Leaf Gardens occurred? How many people stopped being Red Sox fans while children were being sexually abused at Fenway Park between 1970 and 1990? And by the way, that was only discovered and put into the open because somebody brought a banner to an ESPN Sunday Night Baseball game at Fenway Park, held it up, and it said, "I was abused by," and I don't know the name of the, I think he was part of the grounds crew or something. It is across the board. I want to thank you for your call, Bram. Thank you all for your calls. We're going to take more in hour number 3 of the Kaufman Show. Coming right up.
I always thought that if I held you tightly, you would always love me like you did back then. Then I fell asleep and the city kept blinking. What was I thinking when